What is your purpose in life? How do you find it? How do you build a business with purpose? My entrepreneur today is going to share this knowledge with us. Jamelia, welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. Really excited to be on this podcast, in particular speak on this topic, which is something that I'm quite passionate about. A little bit about myself. So my name's Jamelia Donaldson. I'm founder and CEO of Treasure Trust. I also co-founded The Teen Experience, which is a series of personal development workshops for teen girls. Treasure Trust is Europe's largest monthly product discovery box for those with naturally textured hair. I literally started it in my bedroom while I was working full-time in financial services, and pretty much straddled the two for about 8 months. And then after 8 months, decided to take a leap of faith and see what it would be like to run Treasure Trust full time. And that pretty much led me to where I am, with lots of ups and downs along the way.
Now, for people listening that dream, I guess, of quitting their job and building their own business, was there any particular catalyst that gave you the feeling that you definitely needed to do it? What was the moment?
So starting my own business, there was definitely like a nagging feeling that I just couldn't get rid of, which was like, I should be doing something creative. I should be doing something more in line with what I'm really, really passionate about. But becoming a full-time entrepreneur, that actually wasn't really the plan. I thought it would be incredible, and I still do, to have a full-time job and have a business on the side, which was flourishing. That was like my ultimate goal. But I just didn't have the energy to do both. So the time and energy investment that it took to start Treasure Trust and keep it going, I couldn't balance that with the demands of working where I was working. So I had to make a decision and choose to go with Treasure Trust, but that wasn't my ultimate goal. My goal was to have a really high paying career and have a really successful business at the same time. But it wasn't to be, so I chose to run Treasure Trust full time instead.
Do you think that that experience you've had there was perhaps some sort of conditioning? Like, people listening might be also feeling the same, like the dream would be to have a well-paying, high-profile job as you had alongside this business, but in reality it's actually not possible to do both, is it?
Do you know what, I think it is, because I've seen from a distance some people do it, but I know that for me personally and the way that I work, I'm pretty much all or nothing. I find it quite hard to do anything just a little bit. So I can become very obsessed with something. And so I felt like I was doing myself a disservice working in the firm and working to build Treasure Trust, because the thing that I kept saying to myself is, when I do build a team, would I want anyone coming to work and being half-hearted with it and not giving it their full attention and their full effort? And the answer was no. So I said, I'm not going to do the same in someone else's business. So when I felt like I wasn't giving it 100% because I physically could not, I decided that that was the time to step back and focus on my business full time and just make sure that I had really good relationships with the business that I was leaving.
You're talking about something there that I find fascinating. It's almost like a moral code, inbuilt moral code element there. You weren't thinking about it from a selfish perspective. You weren't thinking about it like, I could have my cake and eat it, a well-paying job and a business. What you felt was you wouldn't like someone doing that to you, i.e. working in a company without being fully invested. And so that was one of your reasons for switching. Did you do like a pros and cons list when you were looking? Because you could have kept your job, right? And you could have brought someone else in to run the business.
Yeah. Did I do a pros and cons? I feel like I got to the point where I was just burnt out, so it was only a con. I was working from about 5 to 6 on Treasure Trust to get ready for work and get into the office by 7:30, work a 12-hour day, finish at 7:30, get home, eat, shower, work on Treasure Trust till like 1-2 o'clock, and then just kept doing that for months on end. But as you can hear, it just wasn't sustainable. It wasn't something that I could keep doing. And I was seeing like my health was starting to diminish. Obviously my energy levels had completely plummeted. And I think you even begin to compromise like mental clarity at that point as well. So it just wasn't worth it.
Amazing. You managed to do that. And what did you have a moment where you did think maybe not continue Treasure Trust and do the job? Was that a consideration?
that actually wasn't ever a thought that came to me. It was always something has to give, and it wasn't going to be Treasure Chest, so it would have to be my job. And I think a lot of that was driven by like the stage that I was in life. I'm big on like appreciating context. So at the time I was like 22, 23, no major responsibility, no children. And I was like, I'm probably never going to be at this point in my life again where I can take such a huge risk without much to lose. Granted, I could do it like 10, 20 years later, but the stakes would be higher. So I thought, while there's very little to lose, let me just do it now and see what happens, because I've also got enough time to bounce back if I need to.
Where does that awareness come from? I think a lot of people listening might be fascinated. I'm fascinated. How did you know that? Because a lot of people might say, well, I'm young, so let me get some experience in a company. Let me build up some savings. That's what I hear from 99% of people, not what you just said, which I think what you just said is right, personally. But I feel like, where did that awareness come from? Are you surrounded by entrepreneurs? How did that realization come to you?
I don't know. I feel like I had accumulated a decent amount of experience. So I have literally had a job since I was like 14, like whether it was like doing people's hair and getting paid to do it, or doing admin roles or retail. I can't think of a stage in my teens that I wasn't doing a job. And with that, during my time at university, I invested a lot of time and money in getting experience. So while I was in university, I went on an unpaid placement to Beijing for a month to get some experience in marketing. After that, I went to New York for just under a year, fully unpaid, just to get experience in PR. And so I felt like I had accumulated a decent amount of experience already. So I didn't feel as though like I was going to jump at this thing and not have any skill set to draw on. I did feel like I had a skill set. Granted, I was still learning, but I think I was just really confident in my ability to relearn and learn anything new. So I was balanced, because I did have savings and I had experience. I just didn't feel like I needed a decade worth of experience to jump into something completely new, because subscription boxes was very new at the time, especially subscription boxes for the demographic that I cater to. It was completely new. And so I think there was also that urgency that came with me knowing that if I move now, this will be the prime time for me personally, but also for the industry. And I know that I'm right in that, because now that I look back, we're like year seven now. Now that I look back, I can see that inclusivity has made some progress in mainstream shops. Whereas when I launched Treasure Chest, it was the only option for a lot of women, because there was nowhere else to get the products that they needed. So I'm confident that had I not jumped then and I tried to launch Treasure Chest now, I think it would have been a different story. I think the timing, the climate, there were so many things that were perfectly aligned at that time that made it the right time to do it.
And when did teen experience come into the equation? So was there a moment when you said, I'm going to add to this business? What was how did the teen experience come into play?
So I just have these ideas and I just act on them, and I don't always think about how practical it is or who's actually going to maintain the heavy lifting of it. So I had already started Treasure Chest. At the time, Treasure Chest was focused on mums and daughters, like young children. And I was already going to other natural hair events in the evening, and that were for like women that were like late teens, early 20s, mid 30s. And I thought, what happens when you're in between? Like, what happens when you're not necessarily a child that wants to go places with your mum, and equally you're not a fully grown adult and confident enough to go out by yourself? And I looked back on my childhood and I remembered that period for me was really crucial, when I went to brownies and I went to youth clubs and I used to play out, and that was like how I got my sense of community, camaraderie. Whereas now times have changed so much. Youth clubs, most of them have been shut down, or they're struggling for funding. I don't know if people still go to like brownies and scouts anymore. A lot of social interaction has been replaced with like virtual digital interaction. And I just remember how crucial it was for me to develop my sense of who I am by the people that I surrounded myself with. And I wanted to pass on that experience to younger women. So that was the motivation for the teen experience. Like, what's a safe space that these girls can go to see young women that look like them, to learn from older women who look like them, and can just feel safe in learning, expanding their awareness of new topics, and developing new relationships and friendships.
Let's talk about purpose. I mean, you clearly have one, but how did you discover purpose? And what's your take on how people perhaps listening can go about finding their purpose?
Yeah, I'm obsessed with purpose. I remember I would say early 20s, I had something that I called like a quarter life crisis, where I felt like, oh, I don't know what I'm here to do. Like, what is it that I should be doing? Again, I had a good career, but I wasn't feeling 100% fulfilled by it. And so I read somewhere that your passion always leads you to your purpose. And that's something that stuck with me. So like, I always just kept going back to like, okay, what am I passionate about? What do I care deeply about? I've always cared deeply about hair. Like, hair has been an obsession of mine since I was literally about 3 years old. I care a lot about hair, but what I realized was that it actually wasn't really hair. It was the way that when women had their hair done, how they felt. That's what I was obsessed with. I was obsessed with women feeling like they were in a refined state. I was obsessed with women feeling as though they were improving. And so that comes hand in hand with like friendships for me. So I'm really passionate about community and I'm passionate about beauty. But I'm passionate about beauty because what it can do for community. So yeah, I think that my tips or my guidance on purpose is that your passions are always an indication of what you should be doing or what you were put here to do. And so I think a lot of the time people have like hobbies and things and they think it's a bit weird, or like they think there's no one else in the world that is passionate about what they're passionate about. But ultimately, there's always someone that is equally as passionate as you are. None of my friends were as obsessed with hair as I was. And I just started going to events by myself because I was like, there has to be other people out there that care as much about like hair and beauty as I do. And I think when you start doing those kind of things and like going out on a whim and being intentional about meeting other people, you start to unlock other communities and build new relationships. And I think that that's all part of your like personal evolution.
Just so much there that I love and is so useful. I love this kind of nuance. I guess maybe hair itself initially can almost seem like a superficial purpose, can't it? Like, but when you drilled into it and you realized it's like you said about how to help people feel good, how to help mm-hmm. people feel empowered. Mm-hmm. And so that next level, which I think, again, a lot of people listening, and me included for that matter, when I was younger, I didn't know my purpose. Mm-hmm. And like, I think going back and just focusing in on what you like doing and your purpose will reveal itself. It takes time, right?
Yes. And patience. And I'm notoriously impatient.
I think a lot of entrepreneurs are.
Yeah. But it does take patience in knowing that, okay, I don't know what it is right now, but I think you just have to just ride the wave. Like, this is what I'm passionate about right now, so I'm just going to go all in with it. I care a lot about this, so I'm just going to pursue it. I care about these spaces, so I'm going to continue to create these spaces and be a part of communities in these spaces. I think you just have to ride the wave. And then when you take time to just reflect, you'll start to see that, like, all of the little dots connect themselves. And I think the like tail end of my 20s was that for me. I was able to look back at like decisions that I made at uni and I was able to make sense of, oh, okay, this happened so that this could happen. And had this not happened, this wouldn't have happened. So I'm passionate about what I said. So beauty, hair, community, but travel has always been like a huge part of my childhood. And it's something that my mum always prioritized. So my decision to go to Beijing and New York was purely born out of curiosity and my love for like new cultures and traveling. But equally, those experiences helped qualify me and give me the experiences that I needed to build Treasure Chest. So while I was in Beijing, I ran out of hair products, went to the corner shop to try to buy some, and obviously had no luck. I ended up resorting to a shoe brush to brush my hair. And I bought like some Head and Shoulders conditioner, which done absolutely nothing for my hair. And that was an eye opener to me and a reminder that, wow, for Black women anywhere in the world that isn't the UK or the US, it's going to be a struggle to find basic necessities like shampoo, conditioner, hairbrushes, combs. And then when I went to New York, it was the peak of, or it was the rise of like Birchbox, Dollar Shave Club, Glossy Box. And now that I look back, I'm like, that it wasn't an accident that I had that experience in Beijing where I couldn't find anything. Then I went to New York and there was an abundance of products, but also this new business model that was on the rise. and then came back to the UK and noticed that there was a huge opportunity in the UK market that could satisfy both of those issues. But again, I didn't go to New York knowing that I was going to discover a new business idea. I went to New York because I wanted to live in Brooklyn. I wanted to experience it. I wanted to have that life experience. And I was just drawn to New York and I was just curious to see what it would be like to live there. So I think that's what, there is a requirement for patience, because you have to just follow like these hunches, or if you're drawn to certain countries or certain cultures, then I do believe that you should follow it. And then you never know what might unfold a few years later or a few decades later even.
I actually think it's great advice to tell people generally to go and travel, especially when you're young.
Yes,
you don't absolutely have the responsibilities to experience the world and spot opportunities. I also think it's really interesting you said the quarter life crisis. I think that's an under talked about stage, mm-hmm, right? Where a lot of people, I think a lot of our listeners are like this, you know, they've got a lot of energy. They know that they're destined to do something great. There's a lot of pressure in some respects to go and do something great. Instead of, like you just said there, go to New York and it will not fall in your lap. That makes it sound way too easy, but it will happen naturally by living in the moment a bit.
Yeah. And I think being open to new experiences. So when I was in New York, I was provided with lots of different internship opportunities and I went for all of them, and it took me to some really random places. Like I ended up on a reality TV show as like an extra. I got to go to like these really high profile events. I just had so many diverse experiences, but again, it's because I followed a hunch to go there. And then when I was there, I was just open to meeting new people and getting to know new people and just learning. So yeah, it's just that openness to learning. I just think it's so underrated.
And you said earlier about being unpaid to do something, which is almost like a taboo thing now, isn't it? Like, you know, no one should be unpaid. You're only valued if you're paid. And I actually think that's missing a point, isn't it? That you wanted to go and experience things that you wanted to experience. And some of those things are unpaid, but they can transform your life. I think people need to be open to that. So it's a very good point you're making there, I think. And I also wondered if, and this is maybe a loaded question, but I'm interested. Is there any point in the 7 years you've been building the business where you thought, I'm going to quit?
Absolutely. I can be quite dramatic at the best of times. So if I'm hungry and I'm tired and I've had a tough day, it's probably something that comes to mind. But the minute I say it, I'm like, yeah, but if I don't do this, like, how am I going to continue to fulfill this purpose? Like, I genuinely see a business as like a duty of care and as, like living a life of service. I feel like an entrepreneur is someone who lives a life of service to create solutions for other people to make their lives better. So when I do have those moments, I realize how selfish I'm actually being, because if I was to do that, then I would perhaps be robbing or compromising other people of an experience. So absolutely, I've heard a few entrepreneurs say like, no, I never think about quitting, and I'm not that person. I do. But then I remember why I'm doing it and the fact that it's actually not about me and about my temporary feelings. Instead, it's about something a lot more permanent.
I also think about quitting. And and it was a loaded question, because I sense the same thing in your story, which is the purpose drives you. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so crucial. In fact, when people are talking about building businesses and they're saying, I'm going to fill a market gap, I've noticed in the market there's a gap and I'm going to fill it. And those businesses often don't do as well as you think, because it's not built into your purpose. You don't feel passionate about the problem that you're solving, even if you are solving a problem. But I tried to write down what you just said, and I think this is actually brilliant, but I want to make sure I got it right, because I'm going to put it on a t-shirt, I think, which is entrepreneurship is a life of service to help make people's lives better.
Yeah,
I think that should be in the dictionary as an entrepreneurship definition. I wonder if we can make that happen one day, because I feel like entrepreneurship has almost been framed as this make money and you know, have a big business, as opposed to the beautiful way that you've just put it. I think that needs to be almost a movement on its own, what you just said there. Almost seeing as your role in the universe to do what you're doing, and hopefully, and it has proven to be the case in your case, business is successful because of it, but that's not the reason you're doing it.
Yeah, no, and I think that's the missing piece. Obviously, there's lots of different accounts. Like, some people start businesses, don't have a passion, like create huge wealth, but I think there's always going to be that soul piece that's missing. Like, but how do you feel within yourself? Like, do you feel as though you have accomplished something? And I think the highs of business for me are hearing about the results people have achieved through, like, women who have fallen in love with their hair. They didn't have a clue what to do with their hair before they discovered Treasure Chest, and now they look forward to washing their hair. Or young girls that look forward to their mum receiving the box every month. Or women who have come to our events and formed friendships and maybe even businesses out of the relationships that were forged at events that we put on. Like, those, when I think about career highlights, awards are amazing. I definitely appreciate them. But when I think about, like, what makes me feel like warm and fuzzy, it's those moments where I know, wow, like, I actually had this idea. I was determined enough to bring it to fruition, and I'm working on it daily, and it's actually impacting other people. Like, that really matters to me.
Such an interesting insight you're highlighting here too. Again, I mean, this is sounding maybe a bit weird, but purpose is actually a selfish thing in a good way.
It is.
I think it's good to be selfish sometimes, right? Give yourself self-love and attention.
Yeah.
And what I think is, a lot of people will say, let's say IBM, someone threw this at me the other day. They have no purpose and they make lots of money. Mm. And I'm like, sure, but do you want to be the head of that company? You know, maybe, and I'd rather be the head of Apple, because Apple always said we wanted, if you give a human a bike, imagine what they can do, you know, how much further they can go if you give them a bike. Imagine if we give everybody a computer. It's almost the advancement of the human race. That's why Apple is a company we admire, we respect, we look at with, you know, with kind of this dreamy brand image. Mm-hmm. And I feel that's why IBM, we don't even talk about them. You know, but yes, you can make money. Many ways you can make money as a listener. There's many ways our listeners, for example, I'm sure can make money. But I think if you install purpose, it's a beautiful, almost selfish element to making a business work for you.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's a really good way to frame it.
Yeah. And look, I want to thank you for doing what you do. I love everything about your businesses, and you were recently one of our 5 founders to watch, and there's a reason for it. You are really pioneering and inspirational, and thank you so much for coming on the podcast today and sharing your story.
Thank you for having me. Really, really enjoyed it.